Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20, if you will. We're going to pick up in our series on the book of Exodus, and specifically Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. And so, Joel, we are very glad you're with us. You have already been making a contribution to the life of this congregation, and we look forward to seeing what happens now that you're official, all right? And I want you guys to know that, you know, we did this class in the fall, and Joel was taking it. It's one of those classes. It wasn't for credit. There's no grading or anything. It's just people learning for learning's sake. It's kind of the best kind of thing to do. And there was one night where he had to work late, and so he wrote me an email and said, I have to work late. I won't be there tonight. But he wrote this long email with reflections on the readings that we had done that night for the class. And I thought, wow, this guy is pretty intense. He's a good student. He's a very good thinker, too. And so I appreciate that, Joel. He takes God's word seriously and takes the Christian life seriously. And, you know, hopefully you can see that here at Kaiser, we take our church family seriously too. The assembly of the church, when it comes together in the name of Jesus Christ, is an assembly like none other. It is a place that has an echo in eternity. It's a place that has a connection with something that's coming big in the future. What is in the future in God's plan for her, the fullness of His kingdom in its fullness, we experience here. In a shadow, a bit of an expression of it. And the same thing is true, not just in our gatherings, but in our relationships with one another. People that come to church and they think that it's an event that they go to once a week are completely missing God's calling for the church. It is a community of believers that really do know one another. They really do love one another. They really do pray for one another. They weep when one another are sorry, and they rejoice with the rejoicing times in life. That is what the body of Christ is all about. And I encourage you to do everything you can to take advantage of the provision that God has given you for faithfulness, and that is to be connected up to the eyeballs in your congregation. Or even farther, if you can go farther than that, all the way to the top of your head. Because that's the way God designed it. That's the way He designed it. So a lot of neat things happening here at Kaiser, and new members, and we've got some more coming up in a week or so that we'll present to you as well that have decided to make this their church home, but I'll wait for that till another time. One of the things that's happening at Kaiser is that this summer we are welcoming a ministry intern to our congregation. And back in October, the process was begun to try to identify a ministry intern who could come and work with us, and that we could help him grow in his growing into ministry, and that he could help us in some ways as well. But part of making a contribution and helping the next generation of ministers. And when I began the process of putting together an ad for the ministry intern, I called a big church in Houston that I saw had done a youth ministry ad on a website. And I thought, oh, that looks pretty good. I'm going to call them and talk to them. And the guy made a comment to me. I said, well, how's it been going with your interns? And he said, well, I don't know. We haven't gotten one yet. 2 years in a row, they tried and couldn't get one. And that got me worried. Like, whoa, we better get on it. That's a big church in Houston, right? And so we started to work on this. And the reason is because there's not as many people wanting to go into ministry. Right? That's part of the reason we're doing this, is to encourage young men to consider this calling. They think God may be putting that on their hearts. They've maybe chosen that major at school, but they're not sure. They're still working through things. They still have concerns. What's it like to actually be with a church? And they've heard horror stories from this guy and that guy, and he got fired and they got fired, or whatever. It's a horrible thing. And maybe they just need to be with a church that's good and healthy and positive to help them in that time of life. And so that's why we're doing this. And I'm happy to say that we have an intern. This guy right here, Lucas Lawrence, was one of the applicants that we had from Arkansas. Well, We had a couple applicants from Arkansas and one from Tennessee, and we ended up with this guy, Lucas Lawrence, who is a freshman accounting and Bible major at Harding, looking into vocational ministry as his calling. And some of you accounting guys are like going, oh yeah, all right, good. A numbers guy around here. All right, it's good. But also a Bible major. He's got kind of that dual calling. And he's a son of a minister in Arkansas, and comes very highly recommended and is excited about coming to work with us in the Northwest. Never been to the Northwest before. And so we're going to welcome him here this summer, in actually May, around May 15th is when he'll be showing up. Begin to pray for Lucas. We're going to put him on the email list. He'll start learning about our congregation, and he'll come and work with us this summer, and even go to Myanmar with our mission group over there. So, all right. So continue to pray for Lucas, and look forward to the opportunity of welcoming him here in a few months. All right, let's get back to Exodus here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. We are making a transition today into what's known as the second table of the Ten Commandments. It's often been said that the first four commandments are the first part of the Ten Commandments, and the last six are kind of on that second table. The first four are how we relate to God, how we honor God, how we show our obedience specifically to God, and how we worship Him, and how we treat His name right, and we honor His Sabbath. We honor Him in that way. We keep it holy. And we only worship this God in the way that He wants to be worshipped. That's the first table. But then there is this transition to the second part of the Ten Commandments. And it begins with this amazing statement about fathers and mothers and the obligation that children have to honor them. To honor them. So that the days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And it's important that we understand that it is in this hinge spot in the Ten Commandments, because that relationship with God is going to be impacted heavily by your relationship to your parents, and vice versa. And there is a connection between the two, and so that is significant. And so the first relationship, if the second part of the Ten Commandments is about how we live out our relationships to our fellow man, we don't kill them, we don't take stuff from them, we don't covet stuff from them, we don't break our covenant that we have with our wife by committing adultery. If that's what that second stuff is all about, it's important to realize that the first command of the second table has to do with our fathers and our mothers. So this is what we'll look at this morning. Let us begin with prayer. Our God, we come before you this morning, and we are so thankful for your word. It is mighty and powerful. It is effective and cutting and challenging and truthful. It is truth. And we are grateful, Lord, that you have given it to us so that we may grow in our wisdom and knowledge of you, so that we can be faithful to the covenant that you have made with your people. Be with us this morning as we need to be impacted by the word of the fifth commandment. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This command is weighty. And I say weighty kind of as a way of punning, because the word honor itself simply means weighty. To hold someone with weight and with kind of heaviness. It's similar to the word for glory in Hebrew. It talks about the glory of God, the weightiness of God, the kavod of God. We are to honor our father and our mother. We're to hold them in this weightiness. It's a term used in weights and measures. And it means to have our parents in a weighty position in our life, to hold them in that high esteem. And we will see throughout the book of the covenant, throughout the law, that there are serious repercussions when we don't do that. If you'll just turn your page in your Bible to chapter 21, verse 15, you see a couple, just short little snippets that tell you how seriously God takes honoring father and mother. Whoever strikes his father or mother shall be put to death. And then in verse 17, whoever curses his father or mother shall be put to death. And you could look at other places in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy where a similar statement is made. We know that dishonoring your parents is a capital offense in the law of Moses. But the question we must raise this morning is, what does it actually look like for us to honor our parents? What does that look like? Well, I think one way to break this up is to say that this command is powerful and impactful because as you move through life, obedience to it will look different. It will look different when you are 5 than when you are 55 in how you apply this commandment in your life and how you honor God by honoring your father and your mother. So first, let's look at this question. How do we honor our parents in your growing up years? When you are still under their authority, in their home, as you're little, and I remember, I'm thinking about all the kids in junior worship, they're gone today, right? I should have planned this to have them on the first Sunday when they're actually here, but you can pass it along to them, right, parents? But as you're in your household, as you're under your parents' authority, honoring them will look different. Honoring them, first of all, and most importantly, means respect. To honor them, showing them respect in how you speak to them. You don't curse them. You don't talk bad to them. You don't be flippant about them. You certainly will hold them in reverence. In Leviticus 19 and 20, you have a couple different references to that. If you look over at Leviticus 20, we can read that together. Leviticus 20, verse 9. For anyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood is upon him. As I said before, these are the kind of statements that you see sprinkled all throughout the law of God. So to show respect is the most basic thing. But specifically, that means obedience. Deuteronomy 21 recounts this kind of story of what to do with a rebellious child, a child who will not listen, will not follow what their parents have commanded them to do. And there is a pretty serious ramification. Write that down and go look at that later. But it is a serious moment when the community comes together and says, this rebellious child can no longer be in the community. So obedience to our parents is critical. And Paul builds upon this, the apostle, in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Specifically, in his instructions in the household codes in Ephesians, addresses children and quotes this Exodus 20, verse 12. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And then he adds, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So this command is about respect. It's about the general way that you respect your parents. You treat them as weighty. You don't just be flippant about them or blow them off. You treat them with respect. In olden days, there were some patterns and traditions that you would do when, you know, to show that respect to your parents. You might stand up when they enter the room. You might actually look at them and talk to them maybe sometimes when they actually address you. There'd be rules like that that show that's the way you showed respect. But specifically, the issue of obedience comes into play. Obeying them because they have the right to tell you what to do. To put it in another way, to put it in the modern vocabulary, they are the boss of you. All right? Who made you the boss of me? God did, okay? Would be a response. Now, obviously, parents, you, as Paul says there, you don't do it with a bad attitude or whatever, but at the end of the day, parents, God has made you the boss of your kids. You tell them what to do, and it's for their good and for their benefit, and that's your job, is to honor them, honor God by being the boss of your kids and being the parent that God has called you to be in their life. And this is important to do. Sometimes this is not a popular concept, obedience Modern psychology may emphasize personal feelings of worth rather than the value of submission, and so we don't want to talk about obedience much. That sounds a little bit too old school. Some of us don't want to be dictators. Maybe we had bad experiences when we were growing up, and so we don't really want to talk about the children must obey their parents. Some confuse parenting with friendship and want to just be friends with their kids rather than to be the parent. These are all kinds of things that we should watch out for as we are losing some of this concept of obedience with regard to kids. The reasons for obedience are multi. Why is obedience to parents so important? Why is it something that shows up right here in this hinge passage between the beginning and the second part of the Ten Commandments? Well, here's three things that I can think of. One is this, that parents stand in the place of God. They are kind of like vice regents or ambassadors for God, for these children. They provide love, protection, law-giving, life-giving. And by honoring parents, children are learning to show proper respect to fundamental authorities in their lives. And God has given parents to them for their good. And so there is this importance of learning obedience to your parents because you are learning how to be in proper submission to authority itself. If you look at that little diagram on the right side there, you see children at the bottom there to honor their parents and respect them and show obedience to them. But then through their parents, they are learning how to be respectful and compliant with proper authority in their life. And this will go well for you, right? If you learn how to do this. And that's why it's so critical, parents, that you instill this sense of obedience and submission to proper authority into your kids. You know, we have, in the last several years in our culture, experienced some serious issues with police shootings. They've been in the news, one after another, and we just think, what's going on here? And questions of racism or questions of bias come into play. But in the process of that discussion, there have been several times when I've just kind of dug deeper into some of these shootings, and I see in some of these cases, not all of them, that there are people who act in such a way toward authority that actually, I think, helped contribute to the tragedy. When an authority tells you, stop right there, do not move anymore, if you've never been trained how to submit to another person and you keep moving forward, it could cost you your life. Not learning how to be respectful to proper authority is not just a hypothetical issue. It has real ramifications if children grow up thinking that there is no authority over them at all, because that's just not the way it is in the world. And they will be benefited and blessed and live long in the land if they learn how to respect authority. And so parents, this is something that they need to learn while they're under your authority. Also, parents are looking after child's welfare. Generally speaking, that is true. Parents want what is best for their children. And so they tell you things like, don't run across the street without looking. Right? Both ways. You got to look both ways, not just one way. Don't drink the paint thinner. Okay? That's a good one. There are evil parents out there. There are horrible people, but that is, I think, the very small minority. Generally speaking, parents are looking out for their kids. And the kids don't know the world. They've not been in the world. They think they know things, but they don't. And parents have seen more things, and so they teach their children, and the children sometimes just have to obey, even if they don't understand. And many times, even their cognitive ability, they can't quite understand everything yet. They just need to learn how to say, okay, Mom, I will do that. Okay, Father, I will do what you say. And this is what God is commanding His people to recognize. We could also look at Jesus' example, our Lord and Savior, the Word become incarnate, submitted to His own parents. Did you know that? Luke chapter 2 verse 51 says that Jesus was in submission to Joseph and Mary as a child. What better example do we have than that of our Lord when He was with us in flesh, modeled submission? So young people, I encourage you, develop the virtue of obedience to parents. I know that it can be tough sometimes. Believe it or not, I was a young person too back in the day. I know what it's like to have to do something you don't like and you don't think it's right. Or I don't want to eat that kind of food. All the different things that parents tell you to do. But chalk it up to obedience to God. You want to obey God? You want to be honoring to God? Then obey your parents. Especially gets hard when you're in adolescence because you've got one foot in adulthood and liberty and freedom and another foot in childhood, right? You know that feeling? That's when it gets even tougher because you are developing that independence. That's when your faith in God really will shine when you say, okay, I will do that. And then you'll blink an eye and you'll be a young adult saying, wow, mom and dad really did have a lot of wisdom. Believe me. You will say that at some point. And parents, teach your children about the obedience, that it is a virtue. Start early and start reminding them of what pleases God. It doesn't happen by accident. We have a sinful condition that we are in. We are in a sinful world that's all about rebellion, and children will not naturally want to be obedient. I know some of you might not agree with that, but if you read the whole Bible and if you look at all world history, we have a problem that says that our inclination is to sin and to buck against authority. And so you have to train your children about this virtue of obedience. It will not come naturally. Now, obviously, some children are more compliant than others. I get that. But they still have a problem with sin and the sin of rebellion and the sin of wanting to be the boss of themselves. And grandparents, I would say this to you, don't undermine your children's work of disciplining and training their children. It was your job to train your children, and now it's their job to train your grandchildren. And sometimes you're not going to agree with how they're doing it. And that's when you have to trust that you did train your kids right. And that they will, in time, do what is right and be more prayerful for them and not interfere in that godly work that they have with their children. And trust that God will provide. Be there to encourage, but do not interfere. Do not get in the middle of what God has ordained in that relationship between parents and children. And by the way, coming up soon, we're going to do a grandparenting class here at Kaiser because there's some tough issues. It's kind of tough. We're going to have a whole class that talks about how to be a godly grandparent and all these issues that have come upon us in our modern world about being grandparents. We're going to deal with that. And one of our elders and his wife went to a seminar down in Texas last fall and got a bunch of resources. And they're going to kind of lay this stuff out in the form of a class coming up in the near future. So keep an eye out for that, grandparents. You have a godly and great role as well to play. But it's not to be the parents. Let your kids be the parents. Now, later in life, your obedience to the command to honor your father and mother will change. It becomes different when you're older. Obviously, when you leave the home, you must still respect your parents, but that absolute obligation to obedience fades away as you become an independent, autonomous person before God and you leave the nest. You must still show them the respect that they deserve, but not necessarily, that respect does not translate into absolute obedience when you are an adult. Instead, the Bible teaches that there's a different obligation when you're older, and it has to do with respect and provision. One of the saddest stories of Grimm's fairy tales goes like this. Once upon a time, there was this couple, a dad and a wife who had an elderly parent living with them, an old elderly grandparent. And over time, he got so frail that he couldn't really eat his food very easily. In fact, his hand kind of moved like this, and at the dinner table, he would spill it, and it would get all over everything. And the husband and the wife got so upset with this, they kind of moved him away from the main table, took away the good china from him, and put him in a place where he wouldn't make a big mess. And he even broke some of the dishes that they had. They were old Goodwill style dishes. And they finally gave him this wooden little trough, like looked like something like a pig would eat out of, and they gave it to him so his food would stay in that. If he dropped it, it wouldn't hurt anything. And the old grandfather would look over and watch the family eating their food, and tears would go down his cheek. And one day, the four-year-old son of this couple was sitting on the floor, carving out of some wood something, making something. And the dad said to the little boy, "Son, what are you making? What are you making?" He says, "Oh, I'm making a trough for you and Mama when I get big." And the couple just were stunned. Walked over to the old grandfather and guided him back to the table and sat him down where he belonged and showed him the honor and respect that he needed and that he deserved. And this old fairy tale, it captures the essence of this transition that takes place. That when you're old, it is the obligation of your children to honor you with respect and, according to the Bible, with provision. To take care of your needs, to treat you with that great respect, but also to make sure that you are fed, that you are taken care of in your older years. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus castigates the religious leaders of his time for dishonoring parents while keeping some of their traditions of the law. Matthew chapter 15. Actually, I got Mark 7. Okay, it's a parallel passage. Okay, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, it talks about traditions and commandments. In verse 9, he says, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said," now he's going to quote the 2012, "honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die," which is Exodus 21. "But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, 'Whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." Jesus says, you've made void the word of God, the commandment of God, for some tradition. So you could take some money that you were going to give to mom and dad, and you're going to give it to the temple. You're going to give it to the religious community. You get kind of some credit for that. It's given to God. I don't have to take care of mom and dad. And Jesus points a finger at them and says, you have voided the word of God. You've replaced God's word for your own cultural traditions. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 3 through 8, embedded in this little section about taking care of widows, Paul makes an important statement. He says the church is going to take care of widows, but the first thing that they do is they go to their kids and they say, you need to be taking care of your kids. You need to learn how to put your religion into practice. And then the ones that don't have faithful kids and godly kids that will take care of their parents, then the church will support them. But first, teach those children how to honor their parents at that stage of life. In our day and age, we always raise questions. Well, we've got Social Security for that. Or mom and dad, they should have saved up. Or they can go to this nursing home over there or whatever. Somebody else will take care of that. Get that spirit out of your heart. It is your job to take care of your parents. And if you do it through a mechanism like an insurance policy for whatever, okay. But just do what it takes to take care of your family. Some of you have welcomed your parents into your home. That's right. But guess what? You are simply being obedient to what God has commanded you to do. And amen to that. Thank you for honoring God and obeying the commandment. You have done that. Some of you have gone every single day to visit your parents in that home where they are there. And you're paying the bills and you're sacrificing. You're not taking vacations because you're paying for your parents. Praise God for that attitude and praise God for your obedience to the fifth commandment, that you're doing it right. But there are some people in our culture who completely reject this command and expect someone else to take care of their parents. We need to sit up and listen to this. And some might say, well, then I won't be able to pay for my bills. Figure it out. Find a way to obey God and take care of your parents. And people that are my age, some of you are my age and you're a bit younger, you need to be talking to your siblings about what you're going to do when mom and dad can't live on their own anymore. You need to have those conversations at Thanksgiving. You say, hey, let's go have coffee. And instead of talking about something that doesn't matter, start talking about mom and dad. And how are you going to be obedient here? Do it now so that you'll be ready to honor them in their old age when they need you the most. When they need you the most. The blessing that comes from honoring this command are many. One of the things that's unique about this command, and Paul points this out in Ephesians 6, it's the only command that has a promise connected to it, that has something that's related to it. There's a blessing that comes when you obey this command. Whether it's in those little young years or whether it's in the older years, whatever your stage of life you're in and you're obeying this command, there are things that come with it. Number one, it's a societal blessing. A nation with obedient children who understand authority will have an orderly society. Disciplined people who know what authority is, who respect their elders in their church, who respect their those that are in authority over them. There's not going to be chaos in their society when people understand this concept. There's also a personal blessing that comes to you individually. Some have pointed to this question of the long life. What exactly does that mean? Is that a guarantee that if you're obedient to your parents, you're going to live to be 85 or whatever? What about the kid that was a perfect child and obeyed and then he got killed in a car wreck when he was 19? What about that, Darren? Well, those are tragic situations. Doesn't mean that that kid was not good or he had some secret disobedience that was going on. It simply means that this is a proverbial type of promise. It's like the book of Proverbs. Generally speaking, when you obey God in this way, it will go well with you. And that's the way it should be interpreted. Because generally speaking, when you obey your parents and you learn the things that they taught you that were for your benefit, when you do look both ways when you cross the road, when you don't drink the paint thinner, okay, you're going to live longer. You drive safely, you don't play with matches, and all those things that your parents told you. There's a good chance you're not going to die of some crazy, weird thing that could have been avoided if you simply would have learned a lesson from your parents. But then there's also the spiritual blessing. Learning to obey mom and dad enables you to obey your heavenly Father. And this grace of obedience will often help you with your longevity spiritually. The greatest thing that we can do for our children is train them to live in the kingdom of God. And that is to say, He is the boss of us. Son, I know you don't like me being the boss of you right now, but guess what? I've got a boss too. His name is God Almighty. And I live under His reign, and so do you. And I'm trying to teach you how to do that. And I make mistakes, and you're going to make mistakes too. But then we have God's forgiveness, His only Son, who was sent to die for us on the cross so that we could have life eternal, that we celebrate in the Lord's Supper every single Sunday. And you're teaching your children about these truths. Related to that, brothers and sisters, I would say this, honoring your parents, and especially the later years. You know, I've talked with my mom a little bit in the last little bit about taking care of her mom in those last years. And you know, it's tough. Those of you that have done that, you know it's tough. You cry, you weep, you get your feelings hurt. But at the end of that, there is the satisfaction of knowing that you have honored God in the way that you've honored your parents. Frankly, whether they deserved it or not. This command is not conditioned on whether your parents were awesome people. Some of them, maybe they made a lot of mistakes. Not just a few, the normal types. They made a lot of mistakes. And it's at those times when you honor your parents in the same way that you honor the judge in the courtroom, not because of the personal qualities, but because of the office that he or she holds. You still honor them out of respect for their position. Because that ultimately blesses you as well. And believe me, I know from talking to many of you, this topic hurts because you've had hurts. Talking about your parents brings up stuff. But you can still be obedient to this command. You still must be obedient to this command. Find a way to honor and respect your parents, whatever stage of life you are in. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we love you and thank you that you are our great almighty Father. And Lord, we seek to honor you in this command. But Lord, we need guidance from your Holy Spirit in how it applies in our specific life. And for some of us, it may be that we need to make efforts to reach out and be reconciled. It may be that we need to make apologies and ask for forgiveness. It may be that we need to stop shutting our parents out of our lives for some wrong that happened. For young people, it may be that we need to give up a spirit of rebellion that has creeped in through influences of the world. Guide us, Holy Spirit, to know how we must and can and should be obedient to this command today. We love you, Lord, and we are so thankful that you have been an awesome and almighty and good Father to us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.